For unto us a child. Well, hang on. Let me get a different translation. Sorry. I had to find it with the new King James, with the King James. Here we go. New Living Translation, Isaiah 9:6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. This is a verse that we say a lot at this time of year because it's reminding us that when Jesus came as a babe, he also came as the Mighty One, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so he is the one that we're here to worship today. He's the one that we're to set our focus on, set our hearts on, to cause our lowly estates to rise up into a heavenly realm.
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship you and gather together, Lord, and to praise your name. And Lord, I just ask right now that we would just allow ourselves to leave behind any of the entanglements of this life, any of the issues that we've ran into this week or in the past that would hold us back, Lord, from experiencing who you are and who you want to be in our lives. Lord, we set our gaze on you. We set our hearts on you. We set our minds right now. We purpose to set them on things above. And so, Lord, I just ask that as we sing these songs, that they wouldn't just be songs, Lord, but they'd be choruses that we would allow our hearts to connect with, Lord, to worship you and to experience, Lord, all that you are in our lives. And we just thank you for that, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives.
Is born.
just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your throne.
Covered all my sin.
lost its sting.
The riches of your love will always be enough.
rain, Lord.
I surrender. Those are challenging words. They require a choice. And usually when people surrendered, what did it represent? Defeat, right? When you would surrender to an enemy. Well, God's not our enemy. But we can be enemies of God by fighting against him. That's so funny. Oh, it works, right? Praise the Lord for the right kind of equipment you need. What's that? You surrender to authority. Yep, amen. I give up. Well, and that's the thing. The Lord God is the ultimate authority. And so surrendering our wills, surrendering our ways, surrendering our hearts, surrendering our lives, those are all part of the Christian walk. Being able to not let the captivation of the world continue to keep us from embracing what he has for us. Because the world is something you see, you know, every day. Does anybody else see the world every day? I mean, more than ever, we can see it now. I mean, you can turn on your phone and you can like globally go across the world and see almost every single current event in just a few minutes, you know, and that's captivating. And the problem is that type of captivation, I think, can keep us from being captivated by the one who's captured our hearts. If we're his, if we've been born again, if we've been redeemed, if we've, you know, yielded our heart over to him, different languages we've used, you know, getting saved, you know, if we've done that, then he's captivated our heart, and it requires us to continually surrender daily, not just, you know, one time back in the olden days, you know, when I went to the altar and I gave my heart to the Lord. It's a consistent walk of surrender, I believe. Submission. Amen. Surrender is a little better word than submission. I ran into a little bit of a difficulty with the word submission. Hiccup. With someone. Hiccup, yeah. So, but this is what I had 2 weeks ago. The Lord put this on my heart. And I could have tabled it just for till Thanksgiving next year, but it was so good. And you know, the thing is that gratitude, even from not just a Christian standpoint, from the world standpoint, gratitude is a door opener. When you're around people who are grateful, I mean, you just want to do things for them. You know, I know I've worked in a place before where I was a manager. And I had employees that were so grateful for what I would teach them, and you know, my help with a job. And then I had ones that were not grateful. And the ones that were grateful, I just wanted to keep helping them. The ones that were ungrateful, I would get them what they needed. But it's almost like you don't appreciate it, right? And I got my job done. But I'm just saying, the ones that were grateful, I would go the extra mile. I just felt like doing that. And so it's a powerful force, gratitude.
Yeah, but thank goodness Jesus isn't like that with us.
He's not like that with us?
No.
Okay, good. Well, I'll let that be the the final finish on that introduction. So so the power of gratitude, or power of an attitude of gratitude. We've heard of attitude of gratitude. I just wanted to declare that there's power, that there's a force, there's a spiritual dynamic, there's a principle that takes place when we exercise the power of thanksgiving and gratitude. So let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The New Living Translation says, Be thankful. I'll let you read the list, the other ones. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Be thankful. You could say be grateful. Grateful is not used that much in the Bible, but when you go to the definition of grateful, thankful's right next to it. Grateful is the process of being thankful. So be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So we're to be thankful, grateful, appreciative of what in all circumstances? Are we supposed to be thankful for the circumstances? See, sometimes people have a hard time with that. How can I be thankful in my circumstances? Especially if it's the circumstances of a loss of a loved one, or it's the circumstances of a loss of a job, or the circumstances of some other crisis in our lives. Those are especially difficult times to be thankful, because I don't want to thank the Lord for that. And there's other things that we could probably start saying, people that, you know, that abuse me. Be thankful for those people that abuse me. No. What we're thankful for is we're thankful for that God is involved in our lives to get us through that circumstance to the place where all things can work together for good. See, what happens when we're miserable and we're resentful and we're disgusted and we are holding a grudge against whoever and God for circumstances, we keep the flow of God's blessings back. Because he's not able to work in us when we're ungrateful as much as he wants to. Let me put it that way. I know he still works in our heart. I know he still nudges us. Child, don't be like, he's still going to try. But the problem is when we resist and we know that we're to totally submit, surrender this grudging feeling, this unappreciative attitude, this non-thankful attitude, even though the circumstances don't show like you should be thankful, then we stay in a more difficult situation for a longer period of time. So, because it's God's will for us who belong to Christ. Let's read a few of the others. I'll let you do those here.
Okay, hold on. Be right there.
That is it.
Right here?
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians, okay.
5:18, same. This is different translations.
Okay, so yeah. What is the ERV?
ERV is extra, no, it's the easy read version.
Okay, easy read version.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. The New King James Version.
Let's stop on that for a second. This is, take a moment, listen. Whatever happens.
Whatever.
Always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. So this is a lifestyle. This is just like something that we need to do as Christians, and it's like one of the checklists. This is a lifestyle that he's asking us to follow. Okay, go ahead.
New King James Version. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
That's a lot, Mike. Go ahead.
I like that one, but it's really funny because a lot of times I remember people asking, well, what's God's will for my life? You know, I want to know God's will. I want to know what he wants me to do with my life. In everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
And once we're able to really do that, and that's very hard to do in the midst of turmoil and chaos. And it's hard to have a thankful attitude or a grateful attitude when others do not. And I'm working at a school, and I'm working with kids. I mean, not every day because I do the books, but I hear these kids come in and they say, can I have a glass? But it's not like, may I please, thank you very much. It's like children have not been taught the attitude of gratitude. But the thing about it is that if we can master, I believe if we can master giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that he's going to find us faithful to add more to us as the days unfold in front of us. But always being ungrateful, always bemoaning, you know, what happens today or what happened yesterday, or living in the past, or living, you know, can't wait until this instead of today. I remember when we were in the hospital with my dad, and my dad was critically ill for 2 weeks, and we kept saying to one another, I can't wait for this to be over with, because it was continual day in, day out, night after night, sleeping in the hospital, not going home, not getting refreshment. I mean, you know, it just seemed to go on forever. But hindsight, foresight, looking back on that, having lost him at the end of those 2 weeks, it's like it was just a small snippet of time. And I missed out so much on being thankful for that 2 weeks that I had left with him, instead of like, this is just, you know, this is just too much for one body to handle. And a lot of times I believe it's God gives us that opportunity to look back, not to be filled with remorse or filled with shoulda, coulda, woulda, but I think it's a learning opportunity. Oh man, I could, you know. And so when we were going through the same thing with my mom, I remember going through it differently. And I did go through it very differently than I did with my dad. Because I, you know, with my dad, never lost a parent, you know, this was all just too much. And but with my mom, it was just very calm, very, you know, we were thankful that we were getting every day with her. And then when she quietly passed in the early morning hours, it was like, do you know what I mean? And so I learned that the hard way. So I think if we in everything give thanks, knowing that this two weeks with my dad was God's will for my life at that time, I should have been thankful for it and not wishing it was over or wanting it to be done. And, you know, let's get him better and get done. And so that's why I especially like this one version, because in everything, if we just give thanks, we're doing the will of God in our life, and he's going to add more things, and he's going to tell us more things. He's going to speak deeply to us. He's going to do all the things that our very soul and our very spirit longs for with him, in relationship with him. Okay, and the message is, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus, to live.
That's good. And I threw in the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament.
Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, within the midst of everything.
So while you're in the midst of everything.
In the midst of those 2 weeks.
Right.
In the midst of everything. Be continually giving thanks, for this is God's intent unto you in Christ Jesus.
So being in Christ Jesus, there's a desire of God. There's a heart of God. There's, you know, we hear will and you think, you know, I want you, you know, when you hear sometimes the word will, you're thinking it's not always, you know, a good thing. You know, sometimes you think, oh boy, I've got to follow somebody's will, you know, and it's like bad. But the will of God for our lives is a good thing, because he knows what's best for us. You know, it's like the little three-year-old that says, Daddy, I want this. And you say, no, you can't have that, you know, because it's going to hurt you, you know. And it's not my will for you to have that, you know. I desire for you to have this over here. I don't want that. You know, they want a chainsaw or whatever, you know. It's like something's going to hurt them. And so we have to realize that God knows what we need. Okay, let's look at this word. It's eucharistio. And it is the word that we use for thankful. And it means to be grateful. That is actually to express gratitude towards. So your eucharistio, when you're praying over your food, you're giving thanks for your food. You're thanking, I don't know if you guys do this, but when I pray for my food, I thank God that he's a source. I thank him for this food that he's brought. Obviously, you know, farmers, you know, raise the food, and you know, I need to be more thankful to them, because, you know, they're being used by him. But ultimately, God is the one that, who is my source. He's the one who gives me the breath in my lungs. And so that gratitude towards something is what it means. It means having, it's not just a thankful being, oh, I'm just thankful, you know. So how are you doing? I'm thankful. What are you thankful for? I'm just thankful. You know, it's like, well, it doesn't really hold weight, because it's hard to be thankful for just thankfulness. You know, it has to anchor into something. Well, I'm thankful that, you know, we're off tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a 3-day weekend. I'm thankful. Well, that you can understand. But when someone says, I'm just thankful, I don't know. maybe someone, oh, I say that all the time. Sorry, if you do, forgive me. But I'm just saying it's towards something. Gratitude is expressed towards something, about something, and to someone, I believe. Okay. Here's a good verse. Colossians 3:15 in the New Living Translation. Go ahead, hon.
And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
So let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. This is an admonition from Paul towards the end of Colossians. He's giving them some encouragements. He says, let that peace of Christ rule your heart. Don't let the world, you know, cause you to be all fretful and worried and fearful. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. So there's a peace that's supposed to be part of our DNA as Christians. But then he says, and always be thankful. He tags that on there. Because he knows the power. Mm-hmm. Paul knows the power of thankfulness. Keep in mind, Paul was the one who was with Silas, who was in the prison. And they had just been basically thrown into prison because they were preaching the gospel. Oh, Lord, you didn't take very good care of me. I'm out here preaching the gospel and letting people know about, you know, your wondrous signs and wonders, and people are getting healed, and you let me get thrown into prison. That's not what he did. He didn't sit there and bemoan that. Him and Silas started praising God. They lifted their hands. They worshiped. They were singing hymns. I wish I knew what that hymn was. That must have been a powerful hymn. Because angels were dispatched. The whole earthquake rocked that prison, and their chains fell off. Not just theirs.
Everybody.
The prisoners. Yeah. And then the doors fell off. Not just theirs. All of the prison, to the place where the warden was ready to kill himself. Because he was afraid the prisoners were going to escape. And Paul said, nope, don't do that. I don't know where Paul was and where this guy was, but he yelled and he heard him and he ran to Paul and said, what must I do to be saved? That's because Paul realized that he wasn't to bemoan the fact that he was preaching the gospel, got thrown into jail. He was to say, I'm going to be thankful in this moment because something's about to happen.
I think that's the key. The key is that he was thankful not in him, but in his true heart.
In his true heart, yeah. Right. All right.
We can be thankful and grit our teeth, or we can be thankful and mean it.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can tell something. Tell them thank you. You know, it's like, no, that's not going to get it. Tell them really thank you. You know, it's like, it's got to come from the heart. It's got to be real. Oh, you mean go through the act of, yes.
Yeah. The process is not always sincere, but it's something they have learned, so it learns to become automatic.
Sounds like you're talking about forgiveness there, because the forgiveness works the same way. Sometimes you just have to, by faith, start thanking God.
But we don't teach them how to do it, even if they don't want to do it like being thankful. If we don't teach them how to be correct in that way, then if we don't do it, we're not going to carry that through.
Right.
It's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, we need to follow our own medicine for kids. We tell them how they should do things, and then when it comes to us, we don't always toe the line. So here's a Hebrew word for thankful. And I wanted to bring this up because I think it's interesting, and I think it's important for us to realize that when we gather on Sunday mornings, when we're singing worship songs, that it's also part of that expression of being thankful. Or it could be. I mean, obviously, sometimes we're just praising God for His amazingness and His love for us. But I think it also comes with an attitude of gratitude. I think when we start singing that, you know, of His goodness, and we start singing about what Jesus did for us, it's because we're thankful for what He did. But I think it's interesting. This is the word yada, and it's the yod is a hand or an arm, depending upon which part of the old Hebrew language you look at. But it literally means that is to hold the hand out, especially to revere or worship with extended hands. So this right here is an amazing expression of thankfulness.
Yeah.
Not just worship, you know. Thank you, Daddy, for your love. Thank you for everything you give us. And, you know, it's sometimes, you know, important to use our body to express things. I know some people just like to, you know, fold their hands and stay and meditate. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think there's a, you know, it's almost like, you know, you can think about, you know, walking around the block, you know. But when you actually do it, when you start walking, something activates in us. You know, our blood starts pumping through our veins faster, and white, you know, white blood cells are going, and, you know, those kind of things help us not get sick as much. And it's because we've activated something. And I think, you know, raising the hands, as Moses raised his hands when there was a great battle going on. And I believe, you know, some people say, well, he was praising God. Well, yeah, he could have been praising God, but now we're learning he could have been thanking God. He could have been thanking God for his army beating the Amalekites. Lord, I thank you that they're winning. I thank you. But his arms started getting tired, and Aaron and Hur came and started propping his arms up. And it, because as his arms came down, guess what?
They started losing.
The battle started going back to the enemy. And as they propped his arms up, more of a victory went to the Israelites, and the Israelites ended up overcoming them. And why was that? Because of thanksgiving and praise, but they're connected. So next time you're praising the Lord, realize that your heart needs to connect in being thankful. I don't think we understand the power of thankfulness. I think if we did, we would be more grateful and thankful. A psalm, go ahead and read a psalm here that uses that word.
Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your gratefulness from generation to generation.
Praising your greatness. Praising your greatness from generation to generation. Did you? Oh, you're already on that one. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever. I think this is talking about that our thankfulness carries into eternity. So let's start getting good at it now. Praising your greatness from generation to generation. So, seven things a grateful heart can do. You want to read those?
Number one, get our eyes off of ourselves and helps us to focus back on God.
Gets our eyes off of us, off our situations, off our circumstances, and focuses back on God.
Number two, it reminds us we're not in control, but that we serve a mighty God who is. It keeps us in a place of humility and dependency on Him.
So thankfulness helps us remember that we're not in charge. Helps us remember that we serve, that we have a relationship with the Creator of all, and that we can depend fully on Him with a heart of humility.
Number three, it helps us to recognize we have so much to be thankful for, even all of the little things.
As you know, as we start to give thanks, I've noticed that when I start to thank the Lord for something that I'm genuinely thankful for, because, you know, it's something you have to prime the pump, folks, especially if you're having bad times. You got to prime that thankful pump, just like she was saying. You got to get the kids sometimes to say thank you so they understand the principle of saying thank you to people for people doing things for them. But for us, when we're in difficult times especially, you have to prime the pump. And as you thank Him for something that you're genuinely thankful for, meditate on it. Just something. Thank you, Lord, for this. Meditate on it, what it means. And then guess what? Something else comes. Mm-hmm. And then something else comes. And I've lived this out. Something else comes. And then before you know it, you are actually thanking Him for the circumstances that you're in now, because you've now gotten His perspective, at least a little bit, of what's going on in your life. And you can be thankful knowing that He's at work in your life,
right,
for your good.
Right.
That He loves you. Okay.
Number four, it reminds us that God is the giver of all good gifts. What?
I forgot to flash forward. Oh. I just did.
We were never intended to be fully self-sufficient in this life.
Reminds us that He is the good gift giver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we're not to be taking care of ourselves only. You know, obviously there is a certain amount, you know, that we need to go to work. We need to, you know, but He's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us the breath. He's the one that gives us the mental capacity, mm-hmm, to work.
Number five, a heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining.
Hello. It's hard to complain and be thankful at the same time. Right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to bemoan your situation when you're being thankful.
I think that's a concept that's true with a lot of things. Like whenever we're angry with somebody, it's hard to pray for somebody that you're angry at. But when you pray for someone that you're angry at, it's hard to stay angry with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because you want to pray blessing on them. You want to pray God's best for them. You want to pray that God would move in their lives and God would help them to see the full truth of who he is. And it's very hard to be angry at somebody that you're praying blessing over. Well, it's the same thing with the gratitude. It doesn't leave any room if you're thanking God for everything, no matter what it is. It leaves very little room for complaining about the way you think that it should go down.
Because, or should have went down.
Or should have went. Yeah, should have, could have, would have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number six, it makes the enemy flee. The forces of darkness cannot stand to be around hearts that give thanks and honor to God.
Hey, there was that illustration right there of Moses lifting up his arms and the enemy had to flee.
Yeah.
The Amalekites were the enemies for, and still probably are, if we could label them and figure out what country they're in. They're probably the demonic enemies of Israel for whatever reason. And they keep coming back in history and doing different things to them. Because there's something about them and the Israelites. And the enemy got defeated.
Well, a lot of times that's why we saw the children of Israel having the back and forth issues. Like they would bemoan, why are we, you know, getting just manna? Why this? Why that? And then God would move, and then they would come back to God, and then they would get too comfortable, and then they would go back out and start bemoaning. And that's why you saw all this back and forward stuff with the children of Israel. Like you said one Sunday that the trip that should have taken them only 40 days took them 40 years because they just could not get the complaining under control. They could not get the why me's and the, you know, all of that. They could not get that. They could not get self under control. And really, that's what God is asking of us, is if we will just submit that. And that's a hard word, that submit word. But submission, I want to tell you something. The definition of submission is a gift from the giver. It's not an expectation from the one it's given to. Like, I submit to my husband as the head of the house. I give that to him as a gift. If he said, hey, you're going to submit to me because I'm the head of the house, it would be hard for me to give it. But as a gift, I give that to him. He can't require it of me. I give it to him.
Right.
It's the same thing with God. And so we have to understand, submit is not a dirty word. Submitting to God will not ruin your life. Submitting to God will not make it where you are just this puppet on a string dangling from his ever big arm and hand, and that he's moving you all around like that. That's not how God is.
Right.
He is a loving, good, good father. And so that submission is a gift I give to God. It's a submission is a gift I give to my husband.
And I'm supposed to submit to you. It says submit one to another.
And honor.
Right.
And honor back. And so that submission can be a very hard word. But if it's given in a heart of gratitude, God, I do submit my life to you. I want all of what you have for me. I don't want to be stuck in a rut here on this earth and look back at that little snippet of time of all, you know, in all eternity and say, ah, you know, I could have done it so differently. I remember this week asking Mike, and we never really finished the conversation, but I said, do you think when we get to heaven that there will be a little bit of remorse within us? Like we can, what we know in part, we will know in whole. Will there be any remorse that, oh man.
Regret as well. As
regret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. And I don't believe there will be regret like that. But I think that I think there will be a time that we look at what God had waiting for us and realize that we sold out for so little.
Right.
When we could have had the very best. I think that there will come a a recognition within us that we will recognize, oh, you know, I could have had way more than I did, but I sold out for that 2.3 Sunday, you know, and I sold out for being kind to my neighbor, and, you know, instead of that connection, that heart to heart, deep crying unto deep. You guys, it's so much more than a rule of a list of rules. It's so much more than not getting caught being off track. It is a deep heart to heart connection with Amen. God. And that's what I think that I will feel, just a sense of, I could have had so
it's
much
a loss that you sent, a sense loss of that loss. You experienced
yes.
because of the lack of understanding.
Yes, that's a very good way of saying that. Yeah, I will feel a sense of loss because it could have been so much more, and I sold out for so little, you know, whether it be peer pressure or whether it be the pressures of life or whether it be I didn't know any better or whether it be, you know, my lack of not diving in deeper with him.
I don't think it would last long.
I don't think so
because
either.
You're going to go, oh, but...
Look at Jesus
I see
now
yeah. what you've been doing, and then you're going to enter into his rest and his
yeah.
love, and, you know, it'll wipe away every tear, yeah. someone reminded me.
Yeah, yeah.
Number seven. We got
it
like
opens up the door for continued
go.
Blessings. It invites his presence. Our spirits are refreshed and renewed in him. God loves to give good gifts to his children.
Opens up the door for continued blessing. In other words, he likes to bless, and... You know, I guess, is it like I was saying, was that just a nature of human, or is that like a part of the God part in me that loves? I mean, you can read in the Old Testament, God did not like complaining. But when they were grateful, it seemed like he went above and beyond the call of duty for people who were grateful and thankful. Did you notice that? Like David? I mean, David, man after God's own heart, he messed up really big. I mean, bigger than some of the other ones who messed up. And yet he's known as a man after God's own heart. And what's the key that you can see about David's life? He's a praiser, a worshiper, and he was very thankful. Very thankful for what God had done for him. Now let's look at an interesting case study that was done. This is actually a secular study. It wasn't Christian. So it was a Dr. Robert Emmons of the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael E. McCullough of the University of Miami. They had done much on the research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things that they were grateful for and for that had occurred during that week. So they're writing things that they were grateful for that happened that week. Then it says, a second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them, with no emphasis on them being positive or negative. So after 10 weeks, listen to what happens. Those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic, felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more and had fewer visits to physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. Isn't that amazing? Now that's not a biblical study, but what's happening here is biblical principles are being activated in these individual lives.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that when I looked up about cancer patients and the ones that they noticed had a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness, more of them were healed of cancer than ones that did not do that. I mean, and I wish I would have thought to bring that up right now, but it's a true study that it changes the chemicals in our body. Having a thankful attitude, having a grateful attitude, being full of praise and worship of him, knowing that he has our best interests at heart, knowing that he's a good father, concentrating on those things instead of all the things that are not going so well.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get MRIs, you know, or they chose to have these MRIs done, and they had them done first, got to come back out, and then were asked to praise, if they could praise and pray before they had the MRI done a second time, and it shows the differences.
Oh, in the brain activity.
Yes. After somebody has praised Jesus and then gone and just...
Right.
Just that simple. Yeah, it activates brain activity that is sometimes like dormant or doesn't hardly get used, and things start firing. And I believe it's healing to our body. I believe that, being, depressed, angered, resentful, all those other things that are opposite of gratitude and praise and worship, that it does negative things in our body and to our blessing when we have an attitude of gratitude, which we should have anyway.
Right.
It brings healing to us. Now let's look at some practical things here. How can we develop some attitudes of gratitude so that we're not just hearing, oh, you got to do this, but okay, so Pastor, how do I do that? So let's listen to some ways. Go ahead and read, babe.
Ways to cultivate gratitude. Gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what they have instead of always reaching for something new in hopes it will make them happier, or thinking they can't feel satisfied until every physical and material need is met. First one, write a thank you note. You can make yourself happier and nurture your relationship with another person by writing a thank you letter expressing your enjoyment and appreciation of the person's impact on your life.
I.e. God. You could write God a thank you note, or you could write somebody else in your life. Go ahead.
Next one is thank someone mentally. No time to write. It may help just to think about someone who has done something nice for you and mentally thank the individual.
I.e. God. See, these are principles that are part of, like, I mean, the world understands that being grateful is huge. It's for people who have psychiatric issues, and psychologists can get them to be thankful. They can turn their mindsets around. And yeah. So that's where I did get this information. Yeah. I didn't just come up with this. So
keep a gratitude journal. Make it a habit to write down or share with a loved one thoughts about the gifts you've received each day. Count your blessings. Pick a time every week to sit down and write about your blessings, reflecting on what went right or what you are grateful for. Pray. People who are religious can use prayer to cultivate gratitude.
Are we religious?
No.
We're not religious, but they even recognize that people who have a belief in God, if they use their prayer life, they can help cultivate gratitude. In Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's the one where it says, pray with thanksgiving. It's that heart of appreciating what you already have before you ask for more. Okay, so here's some biblical ways to develop gratitude now.
Give voice to your gratitude. Talk about it and tell others you are thankful for. Meditate on God's goodness. Remember and reflect on all the things you are thankful for and brag about how good God is. Express gratitude tangibly. Look for practical ways you can show your thankfulness to your family, friends, coworkers, and anyone in your life. Seek gratitude in the Bible. Receive encouragement from the lives of godly men and women who cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving, like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a clean heart and let go of offense. To have a heart that is free from being offended, offer all your offense to the Lord and let him set you free. That's the big one.
The power of an attitude of gratitude. So Thanksgiving isn't just for the third week in November anymore, right?
It's every day.
Be people that are known by your gratitude and your gratefulness. I have a feeling that if you develop these habits, if you don't already have them, which I think most people do because I talk to you and communicate and I can sense that you're individuals who appreciate and have a heart of gratitude to God. But if you want to, take it up another notch, I think it's going to help you in your workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you in your relationships. There's just something that being grateful opens up a door to someone's heart. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you can be with somebody and it's like maybe there's a little tense moment and you know, and you're saying, but I just want to thank you for what you did. And it's like, oh, you know, and they're still a little bit tense, but they realize that how can I be mad at they appreciate that, you know. Then it's not just like, oh, well, thank you. It's like something genuine is going on. And I believe it's the power that's released in thanksgiving mm-hmm. and gratitude.
Amen.
And gratefulness and appreciation. All of the above. Anyone else have any? Oh, Phyllis.
My mother always taught me that at the end of the day, thank the Lord for what? For another day. And you had a message about praying every day and being thankful.
Uh-huh.
And I've picked that up in my life. And I find that when I start my prayers in the evening, and I thank the Lord for a good day, a day, yesterday,
yeah.
Whatever, it becomes a thankful prayer for all the other things. All of a sudden, something will come in my mind. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this.
Right.
And it becomes a habit with my prayers. But you have to first thank the Lord that you've had that day.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when you get my age, you're very thankful.
So even though your day could have been miserable, if you thank him for that day that you were alive, I had a day, Lord, that I was still here. I had a day that I could still be upright and breathing. And right. That's good.
Things will pop into my
right.
head that I'm grateful for.
Exactly. Bob.
Yeah. Before I even get out of bed in the morning, I start thanking the Lord for health and strength. My home that I live in, heat, my bed, you know, I have everything that I need. And it just starts the day out good for you.
It does, doesn't it?
And then you can proceed and have a better day.
Yeah. Right.
You just want to. But if you just thank the Lord instead of blowing it.
That's good. Yeah, I didn't put the scripture up, but when you said that, you started your day. Our day is like a new door that we're going through. It's because we never experienced that day before. Mercies are new every morning. But it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And so think of that day that you're entering into with thanksgiving. And as you're closing the day, close the day with thanksgiving. I know that's, I mean, if I was to say that my prayer life is probably more being thankful than just about anything. Now, she's the huge intercessor. If a prayer need comes up, or I know something someone told me, and that's in my heart. But usually if I'm praying, I'm just thanking the Lord, because there's so much, you know, horrible things going on out there. I'm thankful for hot water. I'm thankful for taking a shower, you know, and I can stand there and warm up those cold bones, you know, and because there's some folks who don't have that, you know. I'm thankful for shoes, you know. I mean, as I've gotten older, I'm a lot easier to please, you know. I mean, granted, you know, a yacht in sitting in, you know, in the harbor in Seattle might be kind of nice, but it's not necessary, you know. And I don't know what I would do with it. You know, it's like, I guess I'd probably contract it out for people to maybe just go and enjoy themselves. My point being is that, you know, as you become more thankful, I think you are able to be more content. That you're not like all greedy all the time for the next big thing. Right, Jesse?
That's right.
You need to work on that. No, I'm just kidding. Herman.
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, being grateful also is a
Right.
Being around people that are not happy with whatever, you know, but be like, well, I'm thankful, I'm grateful that I have a prayer life that I have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Likewise, if you're ungrateful, it goes off on other people.
It can.
So now I can bring, even if they're your loved ones or people that see you every day, or my other job, this gal with all these people, nothing bothers you, nothing. You're never mad, you're never not complaining, you know, I have a purpose that I live for.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, when you it's again, if you're looking for things to be acquired before you're at a level of thanksgiving, it's not going to come. But if you start realizing just how blessed we are here in the United States, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard, but per capita worldwide, everybody in the United States is like in the top 1% of the world's wealth. That's crazy. So worldwide, you guys are on the top 1%. Now we look at people like, you know, Bill Gates or others, and we say, oh, I don't have hardly anything. But yeah, well, you know, they're in the top 1% of that of that level. But worldwide, we're wealthy. Worldwide, we're taken care of. That's why I have people trying to bust through our borders, because there's a lot of prosperity here. And so even just in that, we need to be thankful. So I feel like we're just had Thanksgiving again. It's awesome. Yeah, Bob.
When you mentioned having a pair of shoes, that reminded me of a saying. I complained because I had no shoes.
Oh.
Right,
I complained because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. That's why it's good to get involved in other people's lives, because when you realize that you're not the only one with problems, that other people have issues, not just issues, but I mean they have things that they're dealing with, helps you appreciate the things that you're not dealing with, those same things. That's why it's good to have fellowship, and you know, that's part of that ironing, sharpening iron.
Yeah.
Did you have anything, Jesse, or you didn't want to rebuttal for that little snide remark I made or anything? You know it's in love.
So,
no, Jesse's really learned. I'm going to speak for Jesse. Yes. Well, Jesse has really learned this. And I can speak for him, because I know it's something that he's had to really deal with, that it's helped him become a content individual. Because there's a lot of things in his life that he could be not content with. But he's learned to have a contentment, and I believe it's through your attitude of thankfulness, bro. Yeah.
You can't fill that hole. You can never fill the hole with people, places, or things.
Right.
Nouns. That's what God put in my heart. Son, you can't put those nouns in your heart and be content.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. That's
so
good.
If anybody knows this, sing it with me. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I started that a little low. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
And we just dated ourselves there, folks.
Boy, did we ever date ourselves.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Yes, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for just your goodness and your love in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we do live in a nation that is free, Lord, in a nation, Lord, that we can praise you and worship you on a Sunday and speak freely among our places of life, Lord, about you. And, Lord, we thank you for our families. We thank you, Lord, for the love that is here to get today, Lord, our family of faith, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're giving us love for each other and as well as a love for you. So we just want to be grateful people. We want to be appreciative people. Help us, Lord, to cultivate those habits in our lives, Lord, that will develop attitudes of gratitude where you can work in us mightily with your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I do want to make an announcement. 2 weeks from today will be our last Sunday before Christmas. Christmas falls on Tuesday this year?
Tuesday.
Yes. Okay. So on Sunday, right after church, we're going to do a potluck.
That's the 23rd.
That's the 23rd.
Yeah.
And so if you want to bring a dish to share, huh? Friends, invite friends, invite family. We're going to have anybody that wants to do a special song or reading or whatever. Please come see me if you'd like to do something. We're going to just do a little Christmas program, whatever, and then we'll have lunch. And we'll probably do lunch right over here, I would think.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. And that way no one has to climb the stairs.
Are we going to do a communion too?
We'll probably do a communion.
Probably will do communion that morning, yes.
Yeah.
So invite family, invite friends. We're going to do the potluck right after. If you have a dish that you want to bring and it's warm, make sure you just take it downstairs, pop it in the oven, I'll have somebody go down there and make sure the ovens are turned on warm to keep stuff hot. And then we'll eat right after church, right over here.
Church is dinner. Yeah,
church, yeah. We'll eat spiritually, then we'll eat physically.
We haven't done communion in a while. We need to do communion.
Yeah.
Praise
so,
the Lord.
Amen.
I love how we did it that one time at your house.
Oh, the family style.
Even that we were downstairs.
Downstairs, the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Yeah.
We could do that. Yeah. Help remind me. Okay. Okay.
We love you guys.
You have a great day. And share that gratitude and love with each other.